son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome, Pew Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Mr. Scott Reynolds. Say hello, Scott.
I'm not Scott Reynolds.
And Trevor Sikkema, formerly known as the Man Bun, now just what we refer to him as Burrhead, because he's got that in-between haircut.
Trevor, take off your hat for everyone to see. Well, now
see?
It's okay.
Oh, wow. Did you get it trimmed up?
Yeah. Now it's okay.
Okay. No, that's
not bad. But, you know, it's a weekly how is he going to insult me kind of a thing. So this is always a good game for me to play. So thank you for that.
Well, okay. The voice you heard earlier was not Scott Reynolds. Scott is on vacation. Well-deserved time off, so he's not here this week. So in his place, we checked with everybody we possibly could in the Tampa Bay media. The only person that would agree to do it if we paid him in a Ford's gift card was our good buddy, Mr. Greg Allman from the Tampa Bay Times.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm proud to not be Scott Reynolds and pinch Scott for you guys and not pinch Scott, but pinch hyphen Scott.
And fill in.
Glad to be here. Thank you guys very much. Enjoy listening to you guys.
I was listening to the to an Adam Carolla podcast the other day. I swear, I won't call you Louis C.K. anymore because that's not very cool. But you kind of look like Louis C.K., but you definitely have.
I thought you just said you weren't going to do it anymore. Carolla. And then you just,
I like Adam Carolla makes me laugh as much as anybody.
You've got a Carolla type sense of humor too. So anyway, I think we've all done the radio interviews because, and let's just tell everybody. How many radio interviews did you do after the Winston News came out?
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
I ended up stopped replying to half of them. I mean, everybody. And Honolulu wanted to do one. I mean,
right.
Everywhere.
And I'm usually like,
you could have said,
if
you fly me out. Yeah. No, if you fly me out, I'll do one in studio.
On location, sure. Bring me out there. I'll give you 10, 12 minutes on Winston. It's fine. Yeah, it's like it was like three straight where I did like Charlotte want to talk about Winston, Nashville want to talk about Winston, and like Nashville at least like the third guy in the car was from Nashville.
Right.
Like, oh, that's why you won. Then like Oklahoma, yeah. I think it's just one of those where it's like we got to fill 3 hours today. Let's get somebody on Winston.
I did NFL Sirius XM. And literally, I guess they don't always check with their other producers. Like I was literally on like 4 hours ago, and they're like,
yeah.
"Oh, okay."
Yeah,
do you have Scott's number?
Station, different shows.
Yeah,
people in Denver did that with me. They're like, 15 minutes before I was about to go on, they're like, "Oh, we just figured out that you were on."
Yeah.
Like 5 hours ago, so we're gonna pull that plug.
I did
there.
A New Orleans station. I think literally 4 days in a row. I mean, a couple days before and a couple days after, same show, and I was like. Not sure what I'm going to say different than I said the other day, but anyway.
No, hey, we mentioned New Orleans there, and I actually do want to get Greg's opinion on this because obviously we have not had him on the podcast since all the Winston news came out. He's obviously going to miss the first game. First game is in New Orleans, and every time I go on some of these radio shows, I've been in New Orleans one a couple of times, I've been on one in Charlotte, and they talk about the division games meaning a lot. And here they are now. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to start the first division game, and it's kind of a big one because the Saints could very well win the division outright.
Or
and
is he? As a person on Twitter asks us, why is everyone forgetting about Ryan Griffin?
Forgetting, like the team forgot about Ryan Griffin when they didn't play him last year.
That's true.
When they had this opportunity.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I guess we've also talked about how look, the Bucs have obviously kind of been in the cellar of this division for a long time, but they seem to always play the division opponents hard. Do you fully expect that to be the case week one? Or like?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's one of those where there's definitely the rally around the flag type aspect where, again, I think that the outside perspective is that they're 0-3. Like, to where any wins they get in those first three games are total bonus house money wins for the Bucs. And it's very possible. I mean, I don't think they can go 3-0.
Do you think that's how they look at it?
Like, in-house? No. But outside.
You think so? Okay.
I think the perception outside is like, man, those were three hard games with Winston. I don't think they can do anything.
Yeah, did anybody think they were going 3-0 if Jameis would have played?
I mean, it's legit. Somebody pointed out that if you don't win your division, you don't play more than three division winners in a season. So for you to get all three in the first three weeks of the season is crazy. I mean, it's going to happen if you have enough NFL teams and enough years.
Right.
Hey, by the way, you're opening up with three division champions. One of them won a Super Bowl. Oh, okay.
Two of them were, 13-3, and one was 11-5?
I did not know that. But I just wondered right there because, you know, obviously we – coaches, and we've talked about this a couple times in the podcast, coaches will say stuff to the media and, you know, they'll put on the, hey, you know, like, we can beat anybody kind of a thing. But I just, like, do the Bucks really think that any win over these first three games is like a...
No, in-house. No, in-house. I mean, there's 22 guys on the field. They're only missing one of them right now. So
it's a big one.
It's a big one, absolutely. It, no, they'll go in with confidence. I mean, think about week 17. The last time this team played, the Saints need winning
sure.
the game
That's
knowing
true.
They would clinch a division
that
title if they
true.
Won.
That is
and they
true.
Lost. And the Bucks went and beat them. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. The Saints went ahead and won the division anyway.
Right.
But
they still needed to win that game.
Everything, right, right. They had everything every reason to win.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the Bucks beat them.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually just to piggyback off that, on my cover three this week, it was kind of the – I tried to look at almost kind of like three positives going into the 2018 season, and one of the ones that I found was actually that the Bucks finished, I think, fourth in third down conversions, like in the entire NFL. And I would
–
Yeah, and I would not have thought of that. Right. I never would have thought that would have been a thing. And somebody in the comments said that the first 10 weeks or 11 weeks in the season, they were actually bottom third of the league. Right. And then
got really good.
Got really, really good when it came back. And they almost – the person in the comments I appreciate the more research they did and everything like that. It kind of opened my eyes to it. But, like, they said it in a way where it was like, oh, the games didn't matter then. But – the games mattered. I mean, they still had a really high third down percentage, like what you said there, against a team like the Saints who win and you win the division.
That game,
like,
was important to Atlanta,
right,
on Monday Night Football.
Like,
I mean, there was some important
I understand
games.
Them saying that the beginning of the year, they have to start out better.
Right.
But to just completely dismiss the fact that they kind of turned it around a little bit and really got on fire on third down.
Right.
That's, I mean, you can't really do that, right?
The problem was, is then, though, they got down in the red zone and continued to bomb
well,
down.
Well, that, you know,
that was the thing that kept them from winning more of that, you know, games in the last half of the season.
Yeah.
You know, yes, the Buccaneers, in, like Greg said, I mean, I don't think there's any question in house. And look, I think they're going to, you know, I think you're going to get the rah-rah, let's rally against Fitzpatrick, it's us against the world. That's good, you know what I mean? I think that's a good thing
players
for this team.
Like that.
You know, huh?
I think players like that.
Again, it's week one. You should not be lacking for motivation.
That's
no.
true, too.
No.
That's
and
very
it sets
true,
the tone
too.
For the season. I mean, this is if you can come out, go to New Orleans, open 1-0 in division with a win at your division.
But see, I think that game of the three is the one I would least likely pick
at
that
New
they
Orleans.
Would win just
yeah.
because it's at New Orleans.
Yeah.
Sean Payton wants to punch Dirk Cutter still, probably. there's still bad blood between those guys. Now, I think that's going to be
Lattimore part three.
You know and I think
we're not going to be short on storylines that week.
They're going to win one or two or three of those games by playing
three?
Super. No, I'm saying
you say,
if
you
whichever
said,
it's going to be.
Just give us a LeBron James right there.
Yes,
not
I
one,
not
two,
but three. When they win all three of those
but
games,
no more than three.
They're not going to win more than three games in the first 3 weeks. But they're going to do it by playing amazing defense and running the football. And those are two things I think may take a little bit of time, just because you've got a lot of new pieces. So it's the worst time, in other words, for this three-game suspension to happen, obviously.
Not
just
great.
Because of the opponents,
not
because
great.
What you're going to need to win one or two or three of those games.
I think Greg has a point where, you know, if this happened maybe at a different point of the year, you might get really deflated. Like,
right.
they might have strung two wins together or something, and all of a sudden you get suspended. And it's
yeah.
like, all right, this totally lets the air out of the sails for the rest of the season. But I guess, like you're saying, you got to get up for week one.
Right.
I mean, you know, you got to get up for the home opener.
They've
got to get up for Monday Night Football. Like, all three of them right yeah. there, there's reasons.
Well, and if you have a chance to beat the defending champs.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anybody has trouble getting fired up for that.
And listen, again, not nobody on the outside of the 53 in this building are giving the Buccaneers a big chance to win many of those three games, if any. But again, there's three things you can look at for all three. You can make cases for all three teams. I mean, all three games. Number one, first game, Saints started 0-2 last year. They always aren't the quickest team
That's
out
true.
Of the gate.
That's true.
I don't think they improved themselves a whole lot, but I think they're going to be better. Mark Ingram's not going to be playing in that game as well. He's suspended, so it's going to be the Kamara show in the backfield. And
Yikes.
So, you know, if they can get after Drew Brees, that's the only way. This team has beaten the Saints the last few years, in the last 2 years anyway. both home games, and both did it with impressive defensive performances.
Right.
You know, slowing Drew Brees down. Yep. So, you know, so that's the case for that game. The second game is, you know, the Eagles are going to be – there's that possible Super Bowl hangover. We see that from time to time. Number two, it's going to be – and I'm not a big deal on the – huge on this like some other people are, but I'm just telling you, I feel sorry for season ticket holders when you look at that schedule and all of those 1 o'clock games. A 1 o'clock game in September here is going to be brutal. Philadelphia is going to be coming from a training camp up north somewhere. The Buccaneers need to jump on this team and jump on them early, mm-hmm. and run the hell out of the football to wear them down.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a case potentially for that game. And the third game is, teams tend to play better on national TV. It's going to be the Tony Dungy thing. Not that the players, none of these players, half of them don't even know who Tony Dungy is. Well, you would hate
to know
that,
who Tony Dungy is.
But the point is it's TV. Not like they're going to be like, we got to win for Coach Dungy, right? But again, they want to prove to their peers that watch TV. The Buccaneers don't normally get blown out on national TV games, in other words. Historically, home teams win a larger percentage of these. Naturally, home teams tend to win more in the NFL anyway, but on national TV, it tends to be a little bit higher, mm-hmm. when you look at the statistics. There. So there's three potential things. Now, at the same time, this team could completely implode and be 0-3 and look awful in those first three games.
It's so hard to predict.
There's
it's
no
so
way to
hard
predict.
To predict because, you know, people, when I've done some of these radio shows, they ask me, like, you know, what's the perception of the Buccaneers? And a lot of the hosts will say, you know, I was one of those people who the Buccaneers were a sleeper team of mine last year. Mm-hmm. And I always say, and they're like, what is the, you know, now nobody's picking them. What's the perception with the Buccaneers this year? And I always say, like, they're better this year than they were last year.
Right.
And we all picked them to go to the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And they are better, way better this year than they were last year. It's just a matter of, obviously, do you trust the coaching staff? But that's why it's so hard to predict any of these games during the season, especially the first three without the quarterback. But, like, this team is, you look at it on paper, and what's the biggest weakness on this team? Cornerback, and then maybe defensive back, then chemistry on the O-line, and that's about it.
You know, on paper, you're right. I mean, on paper, this is a good football team. Talent-wise, again, on paper, as good a team as we've seen since the last time they were in the playoffs, I would say.
And I think what stuck with me after this team last year is that they were not a good defensive team. And that they struggled on that side of the ball, especially against the run.
Oh, so absolutely.
For me, I don't think they could have done much more to address that than they did. That's what stood out to me.
No, and that's what Jason Light told us in this room when Scott and Trevor and I met with him not long after the draft. You know, his big thing he said was he got sick and tired. The reason they drafted Vita Vea over Derwin James is they were sick and tired. He was sick and tired of seeing his team manhandled up front, really on both sides of the ball, but particularly on the defensive line. And, again, they brought in Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein and you know, Gerald McCoy, and Noah Spence is going to be back, and JPP and Vinnie Curry. But, you know, he still went with Vita Vea because he wants that depth. He wants a rotation there. He doesn't want to get beat up front anymore. And I can understand that because, again, football is so complicated, but really it's really simple, right? The team that blocks and tackles the best wins most football games. If you can block well offensively and you tackle well defensively, stop the other team, it's just so simple. You're going to win a lot of football games, regardless of the high pay or the skill type position, guys, right?
No, and for me, I mean, you mentioned that it's going to take a little bit for this to take. You got so many new pieces on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But those first three games will give you a good sense of how much better their run defense is.
Sure.
Because you get the Saints without Ingram. So now it's trying to stop Kamara, trying to force – again, it's not a nice thing to say, oh, we just want to try and beat Drew Brees. But Eagles have a great running game. Steelers are going to have Le'Veon Bell coming in here on Monday Night Football.
Right.
So it'll be three
Le'Veon
really
Bell
good
should
chances.
Be a Buccaneer, by the way. Me and Trevor tried our best.
That was a
preseason.
Fun
off-season
little campaign that we were doing.
Every day we were like, we were posting the weather versus Pittsburgh, no state income tax. We were really petitioning hard. I don't think you're allowed to do that at the Times. We have a little bit more freedom with the at Pewter Report to do stuff like that. We can recruit.
I don't know. Like, he's making a lot of money.
No, he's making a lot of money.
This is the last year that Le'Veon Bell is going to be on the Steelers. It has to be because he's making what is it, 14? Yeah. I think this year, and the second highest paid running back is Devonta Freeman, who's making
six and a half or seven.
Nine.
Is it that much?
Right.
Yeah.
And
so,
and it drops off really quick.
It is astronomically higher.
Right.
And if you're Le'Veon Bell, and you just played what it, is this his third year on the tag or his second year?
I think it's two.
I think it is his second. Right. But like even last year, I think it was 12. So right. If you've played the last 2 years for the Steelers on the tag, why would you settle for literally anything else for the Steelers, right. That is, for anything less than $12
million? Right.
And the Steelers aren't going to pay a running back $12 million. So Le'Veon Bell, this is last year's Steelers. I know this is not a Steelers podcast. Just you know.
Well, it would be cool to see him and Ronald Jones teamed up in the backfield next year.
Oh, okay.
I'd be all for
starting
that.
This campaign?
We're
going to
go ahead and we're going to go early with it.
All right.
Bring Le'Veon. Then we're going to get on Jason
Peyton
Light's
Barber's
case.
Offended.
Well, you know,
Barber's
and,
got this soundbite clipped. To his locker room.
And let me ask both of you guys this, because I know both of you have been asked on these radio shows. I'm always asked about, especially when I do Sirius XM, when I do their fantasy side, these guys are really, really high on Ronald Jones, you know, what he's going to do. I just, you know, every time we talk to Jason or we talk to Dirk, whether it was at the NFL owners meeting at the breakfast or, you know, any meetings or interaction we've had with Jason, he never fails to mention Peyton Barber. And I think Dirk Cutter, and I've said this on all the radio shows, Dirk Cutter wants a running back he can trust. And I think it took a couple years for Peyton Barber to earn Dirk's trust. We saw that late last year. I think in those last few games, he earned his trust as a complete running back and a guy that knew what he was going to do. I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on, number one, how quickly Ronald Jones picks up on things. And they're not going to – I think there's going to be I told the serious people this. See if you agree with this. I think you're going to see – Peyton Barber be that main guy at least early in the season, and there'd be like a Ronald Jones package, right? You know, specific plays that Dirk kind of designs for him and his skill set. Now, he very, very well may go out there in training camp and in preseason and just win the job outright.
Sure.
Who knows? But I kind of see that happening. For all these people that were, you know, in these fantasy shows have been asking, how early do you draft Ronald Jones? I'm saying I wouldn't draft him that early, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, I think I look at the – again, there's some things that have to translate to the NFL, but if you look at Peyton Barber last year, they were a bad running team the entire year. He had like 88 rushing yards going into week 13.
Right.
At no point in those first 3 months of the season did I like, hey, maybe we should get Peyton Barber
right. We would ask Dirk that all the time.
Once he did in the last month of the season, he did well.
Right.
But I can't help but think that they did not think that much of him. For so much of last season, nothing was working.
How many times did Dirk? Because it seemed like every week there, when Doug Martin would struggle, we would get Dirk on Monday or even on Wednesday and ask him about Peyton Barber, and he's like, "Look, we put the guy in there that we think is the best guy, and we think Doug Martin's the best guy,
right?
You know, and he clearly wasn't being very productive. So you wonder yourself, man, how bad is Peyton Barber in their eyes?
You've got to be able to sift through some of the coach speak. You know, like at times they can. They can say that they really like a guy. And I do think that they could really like a guy. But at the end of the day, like you said, this dude's been on your team. And sometimes it just takes an opportunity. And I'll say to this, too, I think a couple of the players said this, maybe the coaches. They've said that, like, Peyton has come in to the OTAs and the mini camps or whatever, and he's looked really focused. He's looked really good. This is a guy, remember, I think he left Auburn early.
Yeah.
Probably earlier than he should have. I think he got a really bad grade from the NFL Draft Advisory Board, but he still left because he needed to provide for his family. Okay. Right. He has the chance to be a starting running back in the NFL. And I got to think that if you're leaving early and you're risking it all, thinking that you're going to be a late draftee guy, you're probably going to maybe go undrafted, get picked up by a team and really have to work for it, this is your chance.
Right.
And so, if anything, then maybe this is the best Peyton Barber that we could. I've got to think that if Peyton Barber's ever going to be the best he's going to be, it's going to be, what is this, his third year?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 3 years in.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his feet wet.
Right.
And now this dude legitimately has a chance to make some real money as an NFL number one running back.
Sure.
But I
go back to the trust thing. I think that's a big thing with Dirk is being able to trust a running back. And because we've seen it really in both, not both years, but we know that Peyton Barber took a lot of abuse from Dirk as a rookie for missing some blocks in the preseason. He actually brought that up to Jeremy McNichols during Hard Knocks last year.
Right.
And we also know he likes guys he can trust because that's the reason Charles Sims is back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because, number one, you know, he got him cheap, $950,000, whatever it is, on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
He feels comfortable with that guy that he's able to do that. And let's face it, Dirk Cutter's offense is not the simplest of offenses to run, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of nuances and rules and things like that you would be able to do. So
there's a lot of different packages.
You know, it'll be fun to watch, you know, how quickly Ronald Jones picks up this picks up this offense. And
I don't know if I'd pick him high, though, to ask I don't think I would.
Fantasy, you know, no, yeah. I still don't think I would pick him very high.
Dynasty, if you're doing a dynasty thing, sure, maybe.
Right. He was going 64th in SI did a fantasy draft, and they just posted the draft. Yeah, he went 64th. So
that's all right. Because that's like sixth round, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's probably probably at least 20 backs off the board at that point.
Too. Right.
Yeah. 60.
I'd do that.
Where did they have Peyton Barber, do you remember?
This was a weird 12-by-12 league, like only 144 picks. The only Bucks drafted were – the only three Bucks drafted, it was like Mike Evans went 31, which is pretty low for
That's
Mike.
That's way low.
And Mike was the 13th receiver taken.
Oh, my goodness. Get me in this league. Yeah, but, I'll steal people's
but,
money.
But part of that is, you know, his touchdowns were down last year. Right?
Whatever, the score. Man.
I agree. Right. You know, I
like
agree.
I said, I can see him – if he's there at 9 or 10 – yeah. If you're not a Bucks fan, it's pretty. I'm sorry, among receivers.
Right.
If you're sitting there and if you're looking for your second receiver, you can get Mike Evans.
Yeah.
No, Evans went 31. Ronald Jones went 64. And, like, I think DeSean Jackson was like 109 or something like that. That was it. No, neither tight end went. No James.
Where the hell is Bobo Wilson in this? I'm pissed. I'm a Florida State fan. I'm kidding. All right. We haven't really talked. And again, is there anything left to say about the Jameis Winston situation other than congratulations? He had a baby son. And I was joking with my son driving in today, and you know, I had an argument with somebody day before yesterday. She was reading Twitter and she saw a story that Jenna Lane did, and she says, "You guys didn't post anything about Jameis Winston having a baby." Like, she was really angry at me. I was like, why would I? I mean, is that really news? You know what I mean? And so, you know, I wondered how many people really cared about that. I mean, I think people in general, oh, that's congratulations. He's the quarterback of your football team. Congratulations, mm-hmm. He won. But is that enough to make a whole story about? Greg, you guys did do a story on that. You know, again, is it – I don't know, and I told her this. I said, I don't know that would have been a story if this was October. But in the dead time, I mean, we do look for things to write stories about. Jenna had a great story about Josh Robinson adopting those two babies. That was a good story. To me, that was more newsworthy story, in other words, than Jameis Winston having a baby. And had Jameis Winston, this whole Uber thing not happened, would it have even been a story? Was it a case of that story was written because Jameis is in the news so prominently right now?
Yeah, for me, I felt like, I think first and foremost, we write a lot more about Jameis than we do anybody else on the team. So, you know, I think we maybe posted something when Gerald had his twins. There's not many, maybe when Mike Evans had a baby. There's not that many Bucks baby stories we've written.
Right.
For me, it was like we had talked to Jameis about fatherhood. Jameis has been very excited about becoming a dad. I think we had posted something at an editor's request on the gender reveal. So if you've already written something on the fact that it's a boy, you feel compelled then to say, yes, in fact, they had the baby. He's a father, that kind of thing. And it's a weird thing because I think it's a very private thing. I wouldn't have done it unless they had been very open on social media in terms of posting a baby photo.
Sure.
It's their moment, and I don't want to intrude on it at all. And the other thing is you're kind of also exposing them to whatever the hell Bucks fans want to say in response.
Yeah.
Because if you have 100 people that respond to the Jameis baby story, mm-hmm. there's like 80 that are like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I'm so proud for him. Right. I hope being a father helps him mature. That's such a wonderful moment for him. And then there's also like 5 guys that are like, would have been nice if he got married first. And, oh, I hope he's a much better role model than his daddy is. And he doesn't need that.
Right.
I think he's probably dealing with enough of that. You want to be able to have him compartmentalize and just enjoy being a dad.
Sure.
I mean, the baby was born the day after the suspension came down.
Yeah.
And he's entirely deserving of everything he's dealing with.
You should have named the baby Roger Goodell. No?
No.
Okay.
But you feel Trevor's for him that you'd like to be able to have that my first child is born moment
right.
in and of itself without everything around it. So. Yeah. Again, there's some things you're sympathetic to, and that was sort of
if right. I ever have another baby again,
I'm not writing about it.
I don't want you to write.
We
about
did nothing.
It.
For
I did.
You
I'm not good enough to have a story of it. But if I ever have a baby again, we're all three of us. We're going to go to Ford's Garage and we're going to celebrate. That's exactly what we're going to do because Ford's Garage.
You going to have the baby at Ford's Garage?
I might do that, and we'll name a burger after it. The cook. Baby.
They would actually.
They would name a burger.
Name a burger after your son.
That would be awesome.
Can I get a cook baby medium oil?
And they would probably name it, you know, the Moody Ginger or something like that, yeah, the Moody Ginger Burger or something like that. But Ford's
why didn't you go to the hospital, you idiot? Yeah,
that's true. We had a midwife perform it in the Model T in the showroom, hanging over the bar.
Margaret, can we get some napkins over here, table 13? Sorry, it's a baby.
Sorry.
Well,
that's why you go to Ford's Garage.
That's why you go to Ford's Garage. Not only for great burgers, not only for a great happy menu, but you can also deliver your baby in the Model T hanging over the bar. I don't know if that's accurate, but I know those guys at Ford's Garage. I could probably work that out.
But even if it's not accurate, you can go get some good food.
You can get some great food, great specials. You know, people always think it's just burgers. I'm telling you, man, I'm a big salmon guy, right? Or as we say down in Plant City, salmon. But they've got an amazing grilled salmon or salmon, depending on where you're from.
Time. When's the last time you actually got a burger? Not that they were never, bad. I get them for
truthfully,
you.
Truthfully, I know. You always post your burgers. I don't think I've ever eaten a burger at Ford's Garage, to be honest with you. I've gotten the lobster mac and cheese. I've done the petite filet mignon, which is amazing in itself. That's a great meal. I've got the pulled pork nachos, which is amazing.
It's true.
I have drank or drunk. What's the right word? I've drank or I drunk?
Drank. I have.
I drank. I have drunken many angry gingers. They do have a drink there called the Angry Ginger.
It has nothing to do with you, and it's called the Angry Ginger.
I know. They probably did name it after
me. It's a subtle nod to you.
Right.
It is.
Right. There is a Bob Bookhorn burger at the Brandon one, and the Angry Ginger is there, too. But anyway, Ford's is a great place to go. You know, they've got new locations. One just opened up in Lakeland. They got Orlando coming. They got Countryside. They got St. Pete. They have Wesley Chapel, Brandon, Estero, down in Fort Myers, up in Dearborn, Michigan, also West Chase. So, anyway, there's a Ford's Garage most likely near you. Go check them out. Tell them you're a big fan of the Pewter Nation podcast. And thank them. You know what? Don't even thank them. I want you to hug their necks, as we say again in Plant City. You go hug their necks. Give them some sugar. And thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. All right. So we asked people if they had any questions for us on Twitter.
Oh, Lord.
Lots of good responses.
Some of them were not that good. Some of them were okay. One was, if a woodchuck chucked wood, how much wood would he chuck? Something like that. So there's always the smart mouse there. Discuss the legacy of Derek Smithhurst and his contribution to the Tampa Bay Rowdies' 1975 NASL Championship. I'm old enough to remember that. Trevor has no idea who the Rowdies are.
What year was this?
In North American Soccer League, 1975.
Yikes.
No joke,
there's
Trevor.
There's a current incarnation of the Rowdies that Trevor could know.
Yeah.
That's true.
I know the Rowdies.
Yeah. And they play over, what, Al Lang?
Yeah,
you know, 2,500 or 5,000 seats. When I was a kid, 1980, Pinecrest Elementary, we went on a field trip on a Saturday night to Tampa Stadium, the old Tampa Stadium. Sold out. 72,000 people to watch the Rowdies play Pele and the Cosmos.
Kicking the grass.
Kicking the grass, absolutely. So anyway, soccer was really, really big in the 70s in this country, and then it just died off. And as we saw, the U.S. national team not even qualify for the World Cup.
Sick.
Anyway, so, you know, thank you, World Cup, for doing this during off-season of Buccaneer stuff. Trevor and I have really enjoyed watching the World Cup.
True.
You watch much World Cup?
I really haven't. I've not watched that much at all.
It's been exciting.
I do the whole, like, amazing goal, catch it online.
Right.
Yeah. But in terms of watching a game start,
I wanted England to win.
Me
so
too.
It was England.
I wanted Germany to win, of course, because I'm an angry German. But
I wanted the USA to win. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted the Netherlands to win.
Yeah.
I wanted Italy to win. Oh. I wanted Poland to win. Oh.
Yeah. But Croatia.
All my nationalities
suck. The smallest
suck.
Country in the entire history of the world. That's not true. I'm not good with geography, but a pretty small nation.
More numbers, apparently.
You get angry at the emails from Luxembourg, like, you are absolutely wrong.
But anyway, they go up against France. Do they have any shot against France?
Yeah, they do. They're annoying, so they can beat France.
All right, well,
France is better, but Croatia's annoying and also good. So
I don't like France. They still owe us for saving them in WW2, and they still don't give us the respect they deserve.
When do they repay us?
Just not being jerks. I mean, anybody tells you that they go to Paris or they go to France, they're so snobbish. The Americans, don't know how to speak
in
French.
You've never been to France.
I've heard about it. I've got a TV.
If Mark can do the rest of the podcast and his annoyed French voice, I'll be fine with that.
The
run game is nothing.
You know, I mean, oh no, here comes the Germans. Oh, Americans save us.
That was German.
And now,
right there.
So then we save them. And how do they repay us? By, you do not know how to speak their language. We are going to be rude to you. Well, The Midnight in Paris, that was a great Woody Allen movie. We are all over the place in this podcast. But anyway, I'm sorry. Again, Trevor's going to have to cut so much stuff out of this. I've offended
you.
No,
if you're ever in Paris,
no,
go
I'm
to
leaving
the Ford's
it.
Garage.
I'm leaving it.
It's amazing.
Right. All right.
Did you say the Ford's Garage?
If you're ever in Paris.
They should open...
Try the onion rings.
They should definitely open up a Ford's garage in Paris, like right near the Eiffel Tower, and really piss off. Oh, you see, man, you rude. You bring Disney World here, and now you bring a Ford's garage. Anyway, and make it like as American as possible, like flags everywhere. You still have French fries. Anyway, all right. So, what else do we got to talk about? Let's answer a couple more questions. So we actually had like some legit questions.
Non-rowdy questions.
Okay. All right, there was a non-rowdy question in here.
You can peruse the questions.
All right, one of them was, I actually read that without having any idea what the question was.
Yeah, something terribly vulgar.
All right, yeah, I'm going to read it in my head first before I read it out loud.
Okay.
Do you get a sense that the coaching staff is happy to not have to be dealing with Hard Knocks this year? Absolutely.
Yes.
We got the feeling they were very unhappy dealing with him last year.
Yes.
I don't think there's any question.
Dirk was kind of open about, hey, we're embracing this as a team. Dirk, I think, very much likes to have things as simple as possible, as much under control as possible, and having cameras everywhere.
Right.
Again, as a franchise, you embrace it because it's a chance to put yourself out there. Get more people, kind of more casual fans involved. But as a coach, he wants things as simple and as normal as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. Which Bucks player would you like to have on the podcast prior to training camp, and why? Well, being as most of them are out of the country or at least out of town right now, it's going to be difficult to do that. But, I mean, obviously we would love to have Jameis Winston, right? And I think the reason for that is obvious.
Oh, is this like who we could get on the podcast?
Yeah,
sorry.
If we could pick somebody for the podcast.
If we could pick anyone and ask anything, yeah, sure. We can have Winston for a segment.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad deal.
I'd want Ryan Jensen. Just to give me his secrets about barbecue and meat and stuff.
Ryan Jensen for food picks?
Yeah.
Top of the list, Bucks Twitter.
Have you ever seen Hot Ones? You ever seen that show? I'll explain it quickly.
I've seen Hot Ones, but not the TV show.
It is a YouTube series where they have a famous person come on, and like it's almost like a Q&A.
Wait. Again, you notice the difference between the age here? It's a YouTube series. Like, I would never think to watch a TV series on YouTube.
All right, so it's a YouTube series.
You do that. It's
and there's,
okay.
There's a Q&A between the host and a famous person, and what they have is they have 10 wings in front of them and then 10 degrees of hot sauce, or hot sauce. So, like, they go through the whole interview, and they eat hotter wings every time until you get into the last one.
God.
It's like death, and it's amazing, and I just want somebody on the Bucks to do it.
Yeah. There would be some guys on this team that would probably be.
Wings with us.
Yeah, he would. Alan Cross would be great.
We should definitely do that.
You'd stop at 10. Is this all you got?
I don't need milk.
Sources have told me Greg is actually a lizard person who has infiltrated society and is actually studying us for the future assimilation. Is this true? Could you ask him his thoughts on this? I have no idea what that means.
I wasn't quite sure what that was. I didn't recognize who it was from.
You are a gator, though, so you're kind of a lizard,
if
right?
If it's a gator reference, then it makes a little bit more sense. But I am not a lizard person.
All right, confirmed.
So, yeah, I'm sorry.
There's the end.
Knocked
that one
off the list.
Right. Orange Sherbert asks, and we talked about this briefly, no one is talking about Ryan Griffin as a possible option for the first 8 weeks. Is there any chance he can beat Fitzpatrick in a training camp battle? Legitimate question because I think we all agreed.
It's the same Peyton Barber thing like last year,
that he was going to be beat out Fitzpatrick potentially last
year. I didn't see that.
Now, there was a moment early, like, before the first preseason game, and where we're like, yeah, Griffin is definitely taking the twos reps more often than Fitz is.
This is true.
Beating out a proven veteran for the backup job is a different deal than winning the starting job.
That's right.
Because if the Bucks go out, they know they don't have Winston, okay? If they go out and they lose a close game with Fitzpatrick, everyone's going to be like, man, if they had Winston, might have been a game.
And
if they go out there with Ryan Griffin, they say, we're going to let 28-year-old Ryan Griffin throw his first
NFL
pass in this game.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans, right. Even if he's
just Sean Payton's got
ordinary,
a bounty on everybody in the coaching staff.
Even if he has like two touchdowns, two picks, they're going to be like, I wonder what Fitz would have done for him.
And I think,
in all fairness, Ryan Griffin has been in this offense for 3 years.
Right.
They keep him around because they see something in him that most fans don't. I don't think he can show so much in preseason that he gets the number.
Especially with the fact that this staff and this front office is on the proverbial hot seat, right?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons why Ryan Griffin was brought back was the fact that he's been in the league for, 14 seasons? It's going to be his 15th year or something like that. I mean, he's part of the reason he's here, not because he's got this amazing arm talent, is because he's seen everything. There's nothing the Saints, the Eagles, or the Steelers are going to show
Ryan
him.
Ryan Griffin was with the Saints, so he knows Sean Payton. He knows the Saints. Right. I mean, there's definitely but there's a specific advantage there, trust factor
again when we go back to Dirk with having that veteran guy there. So I don't think there's any chance there. All right, last one I have right now. You guys can look and see if there's any better ones. Will we see the same old Jameis, O-L-E, I like that, Jameis this year when it comes to his leadership and very large outgoing personality, or will he be more reserved and focus on the game? I think that's a good question. I don't know. What do you think? Are we going to see a more subdued, relaxed, humble Jameis Winston this year?
It ain't for long. That's just who Jameis is.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis went through a lot in college, and at no point was he different around the players. Right. He definitely enthusiasm. There's a personality that's just who he is.
This whole suspension, I don't know, maybe him becoming a dad. He might come out in like week 4, week 5, whatever, like early half of the season, and might just be like, yeah, I'm gonna be a reserve dude, whatever. But don't. If they start stringing together some wins, some great plays start happening, he's just going to be a giant kid again. And, like, that, not that that's a bad thing. That's who Jameis is. And that's the charisma and the reason why you draft a guy like that.
Right.
It's just not going to change.
Jameis might be more measured with us in terms of how he speaks.
Maybe.
I can see that. But in terms of his persona on the field, he's a big kid out there. He's going to have as much fun as he can.
Was the eating W speech, was that against the Saints in New Orleans last year?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I'm going to miss that. He's not going to be able to do that. He won't even be able to travel with the team being suspended.
He had like an eating W's thing in Hard Knocks that he started. There was like a test run of it.
Wasn't it like soup? Thing?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Alphabet soup.
You could see where it evolved from.
Yeah.
And again, I wonder,
had they won that game, I wonder where it would have evolved to from then. I mean, can you do more than eat W's? I mean,
W's.
We're going to barbecue W's. We're going to grill W's. I mean, I think that's pretty much it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That was the epitome of it. Anyway, all right, so that's really the last. Anybody else have any other questions that you saw?
That's all good. All right.
Greg, what kind of boat do you have?
Kind of boat?
Yeah.
I do not have.
But if you had one.
If you had a boat, what kind of boat would you have?
Every time, trust me, I'd love to have a boat if I could. I'm a sports writer, so it's not necessarily in the natural.
This is true.
A 20-footer.
Well, if you had a boat and you needed some repairs done on that boat, there's only one place to take it. I hope you understand that.
All right.
It's T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's in Tampa on Adamo and 50th Street.
If they don't have it, Mark.
You quit looking.
Quit looking.
They don't sell it. They don't. They don't even make it. Not even do they not sell it, they don't even make it. If you want something, they don't have it. Guess what? It hasn't been invented yet. So make sure.
So invent it.
So invent
then
it.
Then call T.A. Mahoney's.
And they'll sell it. Exactly. Yes.
If I had a boat. I have a boat.
There it is.
Right.
Yes.
That's logically where I would be.
Of course. I mean, T.A. Mahoney's has you covered on all your marine needs, from the simplest things, from a life jacket to baits if you're going out fishing. But seriously, if you've got trailer issues, boat issues, equipment issues, T.A. Mahoney's been in business since, I believe, 1948. And we're big proponents of supporting local family-owned businesses. It's been in the family. Mike Mahoney is the proprietor now and does a terrific job over there. He's well-known, does a fishing show on Sunday mornings with Captain Billy and from the Real Animals on 620, another partner at PewterReport.com. So a great guy. Make sure you stop by T.A. Mahoney's if you have anything that you need in the marine world, from even fiberglass you need to repair your boat. They've got it all at T.A. Mahoney's. You can get sunglasses, you can get reels, you can get rods, you can get shirts, you can get hats, you can get virtually anything that you need. T.A. Mahoney's will have it for you. They are locally owned and operated. You can find them on the web at tamahoneyco.com.
Tight lines, Mark.
All right, tight lines, my friend. Greg, man, we really appreciate you joining us this week, filling in for Scott. And hopefully, Scott will eventually come off vacation and join us again for another podcast.
No promises.
Yeah. Guys, thanks very much, man. It was fun being on, hanging out, talking a little French.
Talking to this little French. Go Croatia. It's my team. I don't even know what they are. I mean, I guess there's not names.
It's
just Croatia.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is it the Croatia Buccaneers? There's no mascots. Yeah, that's the thing soccer's missing, is they need mascots.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to see some stuffed, weird thing that's real animal like
soccer,
Raymond.
Man, you don't.
This is the final of the World Cup. You can't. Soccer's peak soccer right now. You can argue about maybe which teams are there.
By the way, true story.
I don't know if the scarves thing really works.
True story. I'm watching the game the other day. I can't remember who was playing. And Megan says, oh my God, are they in St. Pete down the road?
Look, man.
I was like,
if you haven't been confused by that at one point in your life, you're a liar.
No, when you're 3 or 4 years old, but as a 33-year-old adult, are you really that confused? I mean, the largest sporting event in the history of the world is going on, and you hadn't heard anything on the news that it's happening, you know, 30 miles from where you live?
I got you, Megan. It's fine.
Yeah, that was just mind-blowing. But anyway. All right, anyway, we appreciate everybody joining us. For Scott Reynolds, who's not here, for Trevor Sekema and Greg Allman, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Woohoo!
Out.